Hello and welcome to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. We do not have Joe Ryder with us today. We've got a couple of weird episodes, and they're both dropping this week. Today is Monday. This is last week's episode. What happened was Joe and I were recording our previews episode, and we discovered after about an hour and 15 minutes that I had not hit the record button. It was fairly late at night. We were not able to start up again. So I decided that we would go with a fill-in episode, and that's what this episode is. This is a fill-in episode. This is the second part of our trip around the Twin Cities and up to St. Cloud, Minnesota on Free Comic Book Day. So there's car noise, a lot of silliness, Kelly talking about his original art collection, and endless shenanigans from Butch. So that is what you will get today. On Friday, we were not able to record because Joe was up hiding in the woods. So what he did, he has recorded some information about what is happening with his eBay store. I will be recording separately information on Public Domain Comics, so that will be dropping Friday. And then next week, who knows what we're going to do. Joe's schedule is still a little weird, so we may have a fill-in episode next week as well, or we may have something else. I don't know. It's just August always seems to be a month where Joe and I have trouble connecting to do these, which is one of the reasons why I keep the fill-in episodes in my back pocket.
Now you got me.
Hey, see, Kelly, look what happened.
A mess.
I'm not Joe. I'd be willing to squirt it in your... In your...
In ya. Got me upset. She's got a lot of money from her albums.
In ya?
Yeah.
All right. That's all you're going to do? Just open that window?
Well, eventually you ought to move. You open your own window. Whoops.
Cockroach. Cockroach. He's going to be related to... I'd keep one. What's his name? Cockroach Jackson? Well, he talked about him on the way up here. Now I don't know what he's called. Crackerjack Jackson. Oh, I got to take over. I got to rewrite all the 70s books. Give me an eraser.
The living eraser.
It's long enough. No one's going to remember any of them.
No. Hey, this is right.
Oh, no. I've talked to comic fans. No, that's wrong.
On panel 3 of page 11, issue 7 of Luke Cage, Hero for Hire, Cockroach did not say that. He was related to Cockroach Jackson. Crackerjack Jackson.
Hello? Is this thing on?
He just went to his birthday party. No.
They were fourth cousins, twice removed.
One of the hammer and anvils was Crackerjack Jackson's son?
No, I did not know that.
Yes. But I don't know, it might have been his mom. I forget how. Well, I just go with the flow and anything can be anything now.
Yeah, without Roy Thomas fixing it all.
So, Bruce Banner was Crackerjack Jackson's mom. The end. With Roy Thomas fixing it all.
All right.
Yeah,
hey,
the fix
Stan,
is
remember
in.
When you did this and you gave the Hulk the wrong name?
No.
Yeah, I fixed that.
Oh.
All
then,
right.
Then Stan will just give him a different name.
Sorry. Remember how you killed this character and brought him back? Yeah, I fixed that.
So we're leaving. We left Granite City. We stopped at the bookstore, which I can never remember the name.
St. Cloud Bookshop.
Who bought what? I found a Harlan Ellison book, 2 Star Wars, and a book by Joe Hill called The Fireman.
I was able to get a copy of Doc Savage, His Apocalyptic Life by Philip Jose Farmer.
I wrote that.
Which is a book that kind of... It's one of those that Philip Jose Farmer did where all of these heroes are related. Tarzan's related to Doc Savage, who's related to Bulldog Drummond, who's related to...
The Shmoo.
I don't think he got the Shmoo in there.
He didn't get the Shmoo in there.
Oh, and he did get Sherlock Holmes in there.
Oh, man.
He didn't, I noticed he didn't get the Phantom.
Well, I don't
know. The Ghost of Wax?
I read it a long time ago, so...
That's all fucked up.
They're all related. So Vince McMahon wrote it.
Pretty much.
They're brothers! What'd you get, Butch?
Oh, I got a set of Free Comic Book Day comics.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's at Granite City.
And you got some extras.
And I got some extras.
Cool.
Some.
What's Free Comic Book Day without duplicates?
Yep.
Yep. Oh, man,
pass those
duplicates.
Things out at Halloween.
Better put them back. How about you, Kelly? What'd you get at the bookstore?
What I get at the bookstore? I found a couple of old books by Elizabeth Boyer.
That is a fun shop. So I always try to make it a stop. In Granite City, I had a $250 certificate, just picked up a bunch of signed comics. And what was that, Hulk Grand Design?
Yes.
Which, when I bought it, I didn't realize it was two issue, but
it wasn't. It was one when you bought it.
He was sold out of two books that I wanted to pick up. The first one was the X-Men Thunderbird that we talked about on the way up. And the second one was Amazing Spider-Man 1.
Giant size X-Men number 2.
Oh, he had two of those.
Hey, they've got a Canadian flag.
He also had a book, which I'll talk about. They made five copies of variant cover. And he had one at $30 and one at $75. I was like, what the dealio? He's like, I don't know. But he says he has one raw. And
they missed
two were graded, and one was bought by a customer. And I said, well, I'm not going to buy all five of them then. I wanted to corner the market. Which reminded me of a story I was telling Butch. Way back when Brian owned Hot Comics.
Corn market? That sounds good for lunch.
Mm. You want to eat up here while we're here?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. Where is the corn market?
He went to FAO Schwartz because they had this exclusive 24-karat Megazoid Power Ranger figure. He ordered all three of them, was only able to get two. And he was very distraught because he wanted all three. And I don't know what I know eventually when Christy got the shop before it disappeared, I sold one of them for her. Oh, by the way, if you're the guy who bought it, I got the sword, so give me a call and I'll mail it to you. I come up and I got this
Mazinga.
What is this? It's a Power Rangers. Oh, it's for the $800 plus. Well, still, it's a cop.
That's not the guy who bought it. It's just a little recording thing.
Oh, I thought it was. Oh. So, our next stop is in Coon Rapids. I think Highland Games, who said they had some stuff. I've never been there. So, I thought it'd be an interesting stop between here and the cities. And after that, free for all. I suggest Hot Comics. They had a sale. The Minneapolis one. Have you been to the Minneapolis one?
They
converted an old gas station.
Yes.
I thought it was really cool.
It was pretty cool, yeah.
And then after that, if you want to hit, I don't know if Nostalgia Zone's open.
Hit the bricks.
You go Dreamhaven, Cedar Cliff, whatever.
I was at Dreamhaven last weekend.
How about the college?
Oh, that's an excellent spot. Yahweh College.
That is what I am talking about.
College usually has big books on sale.
College is dangerous. Every time I'm there, I'll drop $100.
Well, that's what it's for.
Danger, danger.
You didn't go out on Free Comic Book Day to come home empty-handed. Coburn's Marketplace, that's pretty close to the corn market.
That's Corboki.
Joe wanted the corn market.
Corboki, is that where you only sing songs about corn?
Yep. I did that once at the Corn Palace.
You sang songs about corn?
Yep. I don't know if this is legal, but I'm going to do it.
Well,
woo!
There's four of us.
It's a cop car. Cop tires, cop brakes, cop engine,
cop
transmission.
Cop outs.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
free library.
Whoa. That would be a good place to put art.
Is that the library?
I only like a library with charges.
Joe and I were at a convention there.
At this
there?
No, it was behind
at that
us.
Church?
Different library.
Well, they had a convention up here at a library, and Stephanie forced me to go.
You guys were the guests.
Yeah. Which shows they had no guests.
Took the guests out of it.
Okay.
I should quit doing that.
Doing what?
Saying we have no listeners.
Guesting. Why? Because you do have listeners?
We get about 3,500 downloads the first month of a new episode.
Perfect. The perfect amount. Still only 3,500, you say, then, instead of no listeners.
Yeah.
You put it in a star blurb.
And then, I don't know how many people listen to me on PW Insider, but it's a larger number.
Yeah, right on.
Does Mike still do the... He did for a while a kind of a website where he put together feeds of comics and stuff like that. We were trying to get the podcast on it.
No.
I kind of figured that might fall by the wayside. That's a lot of work.
It was a lot of work. The ad market died.
Yeah.
And he basically has turned it into where he stores his links. Because it's like, well, we have it. So I'll just put all my links there for all the nerdy stuff I like.
Tell them to put us there. I don't even know if anybody visits it.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Because that was when we first started, we thought, oh, maybe they'll put us on their website. And that happened to be a WrestleMania week, one of the first shows we had done. We
talked going about to Stillwater.
No, that was a different WrestleMania.
Oh.
You know what, Butch? I still haven't watched this year's WrestleMania. You know why? I don't want to have to go to Stillwater.
Yeah.
And you know why I don't do it?
Yeah.
It cost me $100.
And you know why I don't do it? Sucks.
Yeah.
What an awful product.
The Undertaker AJ a couple years. Was that last year?
That was last year.
That was surprising.
That was just last year?
And what was weird.
Feels like
I thought it was 5 years ago.
What was weird is that, you know, the amount of work.
Right when Corey got back from Stillwater.
And really, it was more like a Hollywood production, and they really didn't need to bust their ass as hard as they did. But it's like you're watching it, and it's like, or as we begin, oh, yeah, that's stuntman. You're like, no, that's not stuntman.
Corey comes back from Stillwater.
Corey comes back.
Well, blah, 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 blah. Nothing. Blah, 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 blah. Okay.
And he only left us one bag of potato chips.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
And three pizzas
for
two people.
But the potato chips are exceptional.
All those potato chips, yeah. What a...
All those potato chips.
What a ripoff.
All those potato chips.
We totally ripped him off and ate all of his potato chips.
Chewy crunch. Hey, that'd make a good comic show. Made a terrible bank.
$6 million man can come and save that bell.
I don't know. Is there enough parking there for you, Butch?
Nope.
Well... I mean, you know, my cars would just litter the lot. Another one?
Yeah, I had to have a toad here.
Over here now.
I did tell my son that what he should do with this, you know, because he's got an old beater car now. You should just cover it with refrigerator magnets like you did.
Or bumper stickers.
Yeah.
So you put,
or both.
If you super glue them with the magnet.
Well, now you're up to three things holding it together.
You don't want them to fall off. You don't want people to steal them.
You don't know what I want.
Yeah.
You don't know me.
You ought to be ashamed. Jesse Ventura did that on a radio show when some guy was giving him value. Oh, you do this. Hey, you don't know me. You don't know what's going on. You can't claim. He's like, well, I just talk to your public persona.
Still kind of proud of the time I got him mad on his radio show.
Oh.
That a boy. Stupid line?
No.
Oh.
Stupid line. That was John Holman.
He was talking about movies and stuff, so I called up and said, hey, I just want to know. Because we get all the stories of people when they're making a really good movie and how much fun it is and everything. When you were working on Batman and Robin, did you know that it was kind of a train wreck? What do you mean? That, you know, it wasn't any good. You don't think it was any good? No, it was awful. Well, that's your opinion. Some people really like it.
And
he hung up on me because I wanted to say, name three people.
Yeah, people call in.
Who liked it.
You've got time for all of them to call in. All
right, last chance for fresher. I just remember when I went to it, I had a great time. Then again, I was sitting next to Nick. Because I know years later when I tried watching it with my daughters, I was like, what in Sam Hill was I thinking?
So what do you mean you were sitting next to Nick at the movies? I never sat next to Nick at the movies where he stuck around for more than 15 minutes.
No, we were the entire time. We just sat.
Wrestling matches.
I don't remember if it was a source thing where, you know, they rented the theater, or it was just so we happened to be there.
And I have to tell my Batman and Robin story again.
Tell it.
So DC,
I'm in charge here.
DC is gonna, you know, before the Batman and Robin movie comes out, all the people working on the Batman books get to see a sneak preview, so they can get ready to do all the tie-ins and everything. So they have this theater in New York. The whole Batman team is there. They watch the movie.
Neil Adams.
Burt Ward.
And then when the lights come up, Denny O'Neill turns to everybody and says, well, we're fucked.
Yeah, pull in front of the guy going faster than you. Good job.
Is that Pleasure Land?
Idiot. I said that on the way up. Oh, I swear.
They don't see, they don't have anything that gives me pleasure there. I don't see a single pinball machine.
You haven't given in any of the campers. Look at all those campers rocking. You tell me somebody's not tilting a pinball machine.
I bet they got some uncomfortable couches for you to sleep on in those campers.
Oh, there we go.
Yep.
Only if I get paid for it, though.
Oh, yeah, you can't do that.
Then I have to wake up two or three times a night to help somebody go to the bathroom.
That would make a good comic story.
No, that would be a terrible.
It would be perfect.
Location, location, location.
Yeah, you got 21 acres.
That's pass plenty, these guys.
Plenty of location.
Needs more parking.
What's a weird truck horn?
Hey!
Hey! Hey, there's a cop ahead of us. Hey!
The cop is going faster than we are.
Should I buzz by?
Copy, moving it on.
No,
he's going so fast, he's standing still.
A diggity dog. He filled his quota. Yeah, there's a good place for a comic, sir.
The water might not be conducive to all the paper products.
Such a drag, man.
Then put a rock on top of the comics.
Yeah, how it should be any different than Joe's leaky faucet in the bathroom.
Yeah. Okay. Trooper's got him. I can speed up. Hey, you dumb fucker, you're speeding.
It was the front window smashed in. That might have been a little highway road hazard. Don't drive behind this truck. Drive next to it. That's safe.
And hey, Matt, another trucker.
He's on his phone.
Hey. Oh, there's a cop there.
I'm only danger to other people.
322. I'm bigger than you. I watch PJ and the Bear. I know I can run through a cop car.
Only if there's a monkey in the cab.
Bring back Sheriff Lobo.
I forget who it was. Somebody showed an old, you know, one of those network promos for PJ and the Bear. And it's, he's a lone trucker with his monkey bear. And they're out to save seven women from a white slavery organization run by Nazis. Tonight on PJ and the Bear.
I know I didn't miss that episode.
PJ became my best friend there. Nothing beats Thunder in Paradise. Finally found it. I called Butch. Is this it? Yep, okay.
Awesome.
And I think it was Sting was the bad guy.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool because it starts out he's in prison. Everybody's running around the track.
Yep.
He's walking the other direction.
Right.
People are freaking out. Commercial break. Come back. And there's a very attractive girl dressed mousy who takes off her shirts and starts running in slow motion. And I called up Butch and I go, what just happened? Oh, it's by the producers of Baywatch. Oh, that explains it. Click.
Weird thing is, at the end of the episode, Sting had to lay down. Hogan covered him for the three count. I told you you'd have to do the job, brother.
That'll teach him.
Okay, now we've built up this Sting story for over a year. So, Hogan, when you pin him, it's going to be a quick count that Bret Hart comes out to stop saying that he's not going to let somebody screw it up, and Sting will reverse and get the win.
And Hart will count it.
And then, okay, Hogan goes to the referee and says, yeah, you know that fast three count? That's not going to work for me, brother. Bret Hart comes out and goes, what the hell am I supposed to do
here? Was it Nick Patrick was the ref?
Yep.
I found last time we were up here, I found a big WCW book and I read it. They interviewed him and he goes, yeah, I was told by one guy to do this and then Hogan told me to do that. And I was like, now what the hell do I do? Guy I really want to talk to is the ref who did the Brock Lesnar Undertaker match. Although somebody said the ref knew.
Yeah.
I didn't. I was under the impression he didn't. And then later on, as the story comes out, it's like, no, he's one of three that knew of other people. Then I was told, and you tell me this is true, Corey, Paul Heyman wasn't told.
No, he was not.
And when you watch that, and his reaction is genuine. It's like, wow, I can't believe I just saw that.
Oh, and did Heyman run with that?
Oh, yeah.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar who? Brock, my client, Brock Lesnar, ended the Undertaker streak.
Oh, man. He's the mouth. Whee!
And Undertaker who? Can't believe Kelly's dad bailed out on us.
Yeah, boy. He's an old man. He needs a nap. Oh, you want a speed, do ya? Here, come on, let's play.
Jesus, God.
All right, next year I'm driving.
I am. You know, if we can fit in your car. The question is, which one
fits
in
the car? Car.
Oh, I can take the bus. That could be fun.
No. No, it couldn't.
There's a guy, an old hitchhiker guy, every so often I pick him up. And he goes from, like, Eclair, I'm hungry.
Yeah, close
Wisconsin,
enough.
Gets an Eclair.
Up to St. Cloud, like, daily. And if I catch him at 9:30, I can get him to White Bear Lake where he can catch a bus. And I'm like, he does this, like, hot temperature, cold temperature. I'm curious as hell why, but I rarely see him, so I usually don't ask.
Yeah, right. Well, I'll tell you. Oh, no, wait, I don't pick him up. You're going to have to find out yourself.
He's trying to capture the one-armed man.
Talking about he is the one arm man. Well, he's gonna find the guy and then they go to concert and they can clap.
Fair enough.
See what I have to put up with every week.
You can't actually see Butch on a weekly basis.
No, Joe.
Joe, see, you could, but you don't.
Joe doing his dad jokes every week.
Dad jokes? Told you. We need that joke book.
We should. Okay, I'll go back and get it.
Let's go.
It's great when guys finally go, hey, he's not really a cop. I can pass him.
Yeah, they're like, oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez.
I was driving the speed limit for nothing.
Oh, crap.
I was following the laws of the land like an idiot.
Rest area is closed.
Or if you're trying to go slower than Joe, I was driving 20 miles an hour over the speed limit for nothing.
People still passing me.
It's like when I sleep at home for free,
like a moron.
Oh, man. Like a big jerk.
You know, we could do a new segment.
Nap time with the free comic book day?
No, we get Kelly to do Tales of the Source.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, you're not. Well, I tried.
Yes, it's Tales of Taco Bell.
Yep, here we go.
Source is a wonderful store.
Well, it's very true. We're always talking up the Source.
I always thought so.
That's all I've got to say.
Oh, we just tell stories about the weird stuff that happened at Joe's shop, or fun times we had at Joe's shop.
Yeah, but my shop's gone. It doesn't matter anymore.
The man who came in, and I like a Superman.
I like a Superman.
The guy that crappie flopped up against the window and then came in bitching about it. It's all going to the pedophile.
Or the other one I like. This is bullshit as he walks past the front door. I had no idea what this guy's talking about.
He was rapping.
Boy, we got miles out of that.
You could hear him coming down the sidewalk.
Or like when we're trying to do top 10 babes in hot comics.
Yeah.
Dave, your mom's number one. No way, man, it's my mom!
Well, it was the Wayne and Garth delivery. Number one, Dave's mom!
No way, man!
No way!
I know, is it Vise or you?
It was me, I guess.
Sorry, Dave.
It's true.
Oh, man! And my buddy, I remember we were watching the parade once. My buddy was like hitting on
Rick,
his mom. Yeah, and we were.
I was
like,
trying to remember earlier who that guy. Yeah, but now I got it.
And she's having none of it. She's. Yeah, I know what's going on. It ain't happening.
And
of course, I was so delicate, Dave. It might be your good dad. Shut up, man. The other Dave story I was thinking of was when I was trying to tell him. You know, it's fine when you're alone in the shop and you got Henry Rollins playing at, like, you know, groundbreaking decibel levels.
Yeah.
But when, you know, mom and pa kettle come in, turn it down. Oh, man, but I like it. No, it's just, even I turn my music down. You know, just turn it down, and when they're gone, turn it up. Besides, it's the same music, same song. It's just him going, Dave's like, no way, man, it's all nuanced. It's just all great. And you said, sorry, Dave. Right.
Yeah, maybe that was it. maybe that was my story, Dave.
Butch was the arbitrator of, like, good taste. If he said it was true. I would make mixed CDs, and if Butch said, hey, that was a good job. I've done good.
Man virtually without an opinion.
Yeah.
Everything's great.
All right, here's a George Tuska inked by Vince Galletta, Butch.
Oh, wow. Wow. Bring back the living eraser.
Hang on, there's an emergency pull-off right here.
And Frank Springer did some of the inking, too.
Oh.
I do have to say I was a little disappointed at Granite City. They didn't have any Death Mate in stock.
Not only that, their quarter bin or dollar bin completely gone for 2 years now.
Yeah. I went down to the basement once. They have Constock. They have eBay stock. Because I was looking like, oh, I'm going to buy this. Oh, you can't. It's on eBay. I got to take it off. I was like, oh, no, I'll pick it up later. Never did buy it. Ha, take that, Tim.
You didn't go on to eBay and buy it?
I forgot what the book was when I got
home. You didn't talk. Yeah. Priorities.
I need to look for more out-state used bookstores for... Those 50s and 60s crime novels.
Have you been to, what's the store in Owatonna?
Half Price Books?
No. Little Professors? Professor? Yeah, how's that? Is that?
I've been in there.
Is that because Eric drops off flyers all the time? Is that
if he remembers to get them from me.
Yeah. Because I know one time we were going to plan to go there, but he was closed that day, so we went to Pulp down in Rochester. And then there was another shop, like half a mile away?
Yeah. Or I can't remember the name of it. No. Pulp is such a fun store, though.
Yeah, we should take a run down there sometime. It's on the bingo card. We could make it. Man, that would be a hell of a ride.
All
I told the boy that they're having a free comic book day thing, but I don't know if he's off today or not.
Yeah, I thought he might come again, but maybe he was like, I ain't got my dad's friends no more.
Nah, he'll do it for Black Friday, but most of the time, if he gets a day off, if he and the wife get a day off together, it's pretty rare, so they're going to run
That's
around
lucky.
And do stuff.
Oh.
That's what sucks, the AC's fucked. Yeah, I do.
They're both big book nerds, so.
Black car, black windows.
Yoink.
Yoink.
There. That'll get us a little fresh air.
So, in terms of art, Kelly, is there a holy grail you're still looking for, like someone you'd love to get?
I'd like to get Giant Pez to do me a sketch.
Giant Pez. Again with the joke.
Not really. I kind of buy art kind of the same way I buy comics. When I run across something I see that I like, I pick it up. So there's really nothing I particularly hunt for.
Do you do commissions, or is it just if you see it, it's something
it
fun?
It depends on the artist. Some of both. I was at Planet Comic Con. Sabine Rich was there. So I bought a page from her that she did for the Xenoscope book Courier. But I figured, yeah, who knows if I'll get to a show when she's going to actually be in the U.S. again.
Oh, yeah.
So I picked up that. I did get a couple of sketch covers done while I was down there. But, yeah, when it comes to sketches and sketch covers, I hate to ever be critical of art, especially since I really can't draw myself, but sometimes you get something done and you don't care for it.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, you know, artists are charging a lot more for original art these days because it's slowly going away. So it can be a risk.
So I can't get $5 a page from Angel Medina anymore?
I doubt it very much. I think he's smart
well,
enough to
you know
when
he disappears to the crapper, maybe.
So who are some of the artists that you follow?
Oh. There's a lot of Asian artists that do a lot of cover work in the last couple of years. Some of whose names I wouldn't want to murder.
Don't worry, I'm good
trying
at
to
that.
Pronounce,
not you.
Me?
But, there's some here. Of them. Shannon Meyer. I'm always watching when he does different covers. And we've got our own locals like Ollie Garza. And I usually keep an eye out for stuff that E-Boss does. If anything... The primary pieces I wanted to have in my collection were originals by some of the first D&D, big name D&D artists.
Oh, yeah.
What are a couple names?
I thought you were going to go into that. Larry Elmore.
Oh, yeah, right.
Keith Parkinson and Clive Caldwell specifically. And I was lucky enough to eventually get a piece by Caldwell and a piece by Elmore. But unfortunately... Parkinson passed away. I lost that opportunity to ever run across anything. And then E-Boss was a guest of ours at a couple of shows. And I've always wanted to get a piece by him. And I was lucky enough to get a Poison Ivy piece that he did that I really like. Daniel Warren Johnson is one I would like to maybe eventually get a piece from. But I don't know if he even takes commissions online. Usually he's pretty booked out. I haven't been to a show that he's been at. Probably since pre-COVID.
We go pick up Ryan Wilson. Buffalo's just right up the road.
Now right. Joe's always on the hunt for Supergirl art. Who are some of the artists you're wanting to get commissions from? In a perfect world.
Kirby.
I just missed John Byrne as a Supergirl that surfaced a couple of times. It just sold at Heritage.
Oh, wow.
And I was eyeballing it, and I'm like, well, I can stay married.
or we get married to Supergirl.
And it went, in my opinion, cheap, about a, like around 1,000. And you know, Gruber saw it, and I was like, oh, Pat, trust me, I was trying to figure out ways. I put it on this, and I'd pay him off for the next 25 years. But yeah, like you said, do the locals. I contacted Gordon Purcell for the comic show coming up, and I negotiated out a price. He's going to do one for me. So I'm looking forward to getting that. I've already done Dan Juergens. Tom Nagin, I think, is at Hot Comics. I'd love to get something from him.
Pull him over.
Come fuck.
Yeah, I've got a few pieces by Tom. I actually got lucky at a couple of the MCBA auctions when I was first volunteering. And I actually have two pages where Mankey did the pencils and the Tom did the inks. So those nice. Are a couple of the prize pieces in my collection.
I know I've talked with Pete Krause over the years of doing one, but I haven't seen him.
Well, there's a reason for that.
He says, "Hi, is this Butch?" No, hiding. Clack hangs up.
It says Butch. Who's Butch?
He's in his car.
He's got people on the lookout for you, Joe.
And every so often, I'll look at like guests that were at previous cons, and I go, "Oh, I didn't do it then.
Yeah.
I didn't do it then."
Well, yeah, there's always those pieces that you. You mentioned the piece that you saw on Heritage Auctions. There's always pieces you wish you would have worked harder at getting.
Perfect.
I remember years ago seeing a Perez page on eBay. And it, in my opinion, even back then, sold for less than it was really worth. And I think it was just, I had to go to work. I couldn't wait for the end of the auction, that type of thing, you know.
What was it?
It was, I can't remember what book it was from, but it was a three-quarter splash with Scarlet Witch on it.
Oof.
It was just gorgeous.
That was probably from when he was doing the Titans.
Dave Sim had done one of Cerebus and Wolverine fighting over a drink.
Not Wolver Roach?
Nope, Wolverine.
Okay.
Well, and
never know.
I was watching it on an auction, and I bid like $300, and I think it went for $400. But what had happened was is that I didn't get the notification that I'd been outbid, because I was like, $400? I could have gone higher. But I was always trying to figure out, like, I always admired Joel Thingvall's collection, because he had Wonder Woman. And he got to the point where so many people knew he had Wonder Woman. He had, like, named people come up and goes, "Hey, I made this Wonder Woman for you, just to have him join the collection." And back
very good.
When they still had those cages at the education building at one of the Springcon, Falcon, I forget what it was, he actually put a lot of it on display, which was kind of fun.
Yeah, that was the year that they still had the display cases, and they also had that one corner was kind of like that L shape.
Yeah.
And part of the L was all glass walls, and he took that whole section and brought in his collection to put it on display. It was very impressive.
Remember, I put in I think I brought a bunch of diecast cars that were like comic related, Corgis, Hot Wheels, things like that. And then I had a bunch of movie related. That was the year James O'Barr came to our show, and he was looking at the displays, and he was like, "Oh wow, I had like a James Dean car from one of his movies." And he made a comment about it, and I thought, you know, I should take it out and just give it to him. But then, you know, he went on and looked at other things, and I totally forgot about that. Reduced to one lane!
And those cases were wonderful, those display cases.
Those were fun. I know why they took them out, but it's too bad, because they added something. You know, someone could come and display their artwork and not have to worry about it getting in.
Yeah, those are really nice for our show, because you could bring stuff in and you could put it in there, and they weren't easy to get into, so you could actually, you know, bring something in of value and put on display and not have to worry about having to have people standing there guarding the cases. And those cases still exist. They're in some storage area at the fair.
Bring them back.
But I have no idea what it takes to move the things. Even if they would be willing to do it.
Yeah. Money. It takes money.
Well, no, I mean, just believe me, I've seen the bills on what we pay the fair. Yeah. And for them to use a forklift for anything is astronomical.
Emphasis on ass.
You know, he's like, you don't understand. These guys are like the mafia. You got to deal with them. They got their own universe. You talk about how they'd show up every day, 12 o'clock sharp at midnight, pick up their collection of whatever that week's take was.
And overall, the fair had always been a very reasonably priced option, especially for our shows. You know, all the free parking that was available.
Oh, yes.
The building rent, you know, wasn't bad. The unfortunate thing is the fact that so many of their buildings, if not most of their buildings, don't have any kind of air conditioning. So between the lack of air conditioning and then the road issues in Minnesota winters, it kind of limits your time frame when you can really do shows there.
It sure does.
And losing our spring dates was really
because you got your free comic book day and then you got Memorial Day, so it's really only two weekends you can choose.
Yep. And otherwise, even look at our temperatures today. You know, we're in the
76 outside.
So I watch it go up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you remember the year we had
SweatCon.
Yeah, education building. Everyone dubbed it SweatCon.
Oh, who did the three geeks?
Rich Kozlowski.
Yeah, he did a original art. One of the things that I have, you know, MCBA, he's got the big three geek guy, little real comic guy. Ah, 'tis a bit moist.
Keith. You know, and then between the whole seasonal thing, then you got to deal with the time around the fair itself. It's not like, you know, the fair goes on for a week, but there's like a month before and almost a month after that they basically all they do is let people that are involved with the fair load in and load
set
out
up, tear down.
So I mean, overall the number of weekends available are fairly limited unless we want to try to, you know, risk going into that colder seasonal type stuff. Then on top of that you have all the competition of so many other shows.
Oh yeah. What's the bigger, like New York's got a big one on one of the weekends we try to use.
Yeah, New York has always been an issue. And the show's over the Dakotas. I mean, we're not really in competition, but it's like how many shows can fans do in the course of a month.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that we were concerned with last fall, was just our proximity to the new show that had moved into the Minneapolis Convention Center. You don't want to, I want people to be able to afford to come to the show, and I want them to have, you know, enough money that they can enjoy themselves, spend some money, whether it's on art or whether it's on comics. You know, if it's a show every weekend, how do you manage that?
Yeah.
Then part of our goal is always to keep our show, you know, very affordable. Looking at other shows, you know, going to C2E2 or Planet Comic Con or something like that, where you're paying $60, $80, $100 or more
for
your tickets, it's...
When the shows that have done that here don't really seem to do that well. They come in with a lot of triumph and they leave. You know, like I said, there was the one downtown St. Paul, Wizard World, it's a finicky market.
Well, Wizard World's pretty crappy organization overall. There's a reason
They came in with a lot of triumph. I mean, there was a year, I think Pat got a, you know, Adams print, and there was like exclusive comics and things. And was it a Hulk issue? I can't remember. They got one for attending and one for pre. And I think Pat ended up getting his because he knew someone that got tables.
Tables.
It's like we've talked about in the past, you know. There were people that when MCDA at the time did the show at the Maplewood Community Center. There were guys from Minneapolis. Nope, not going to go. I was like, really? Why? Nope, don't go to St.
No, it's easy to get to, and there's lots of parking.
Yeah, it's like...
Not doing that.
Tell me where the comic show is. I'll go.
See, that's what you need, Joe.
News people.
An ambulance?
They took the siren. From me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because we need Joe to drive faster.
Maybe we could just
faster.
Drop something on Butch's toe and he can yell out the window.
Like Harry and the Hendersons.
Crash, he's a 101. Come on, by my left shoulder. That's okay, we'll burst through it.
Sorry, I'm just holding out for space aliens.
Oh, we haven't passed it yet?
No, we passed that a while ago.
I can do an emergency pat turn.
Gee whiz. Emergency
we'll call DoorDash, see if they'll bring you a burger.
Okay, yeah. But,
garden
but I was going to get something from space aliens.
Fine eating there. WTF!
One of the things I found surprising about Planet Comic-Con this year, compared to previous years, is, and this seems to be a trend with a lot of these big shows, is they seem to have less and less comic book retailers.
Stupid.
You know, it's a comic book show with less and less comics.
Now, is that the one down in Kansas City?
Correct.
I know somebody was there, and... celebrities have taken over.
The big shows, that is a huge, huge part of it. And, I mean, there's a ton of fans out there that's the majority of their interest.
Yeah.
A lot of the fans going there for that don't really have the interest in comics. You know, and I don't know how much of the current change in what's happening in shows is related to COVID.
There you go. That's how you do it.
Play the guitar on the MTV.
No,
that ain't working.
I hope.
Yeah, I don't know if more, if more and more, you know, retailers are, you know, just not willing to.
At least we got no breaks in front of us.
At some of these bigger shows, and especially if you're a comic retailer, you need multiple spaces.
I was
going to
let Mr. Van and
the
You were.
Your shops are dealing with back issues.
Oh, I think they might have cleared it. The cop that was ahead pulled away.
So if you don't have a lot of con stock, even if you could afford the tables, you're not going to make any money.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of the comic dealers that you see at shows, there's probably a mix of those that actually have the storefront and those that don't. I guess now they think about it. But I think a lot of comic sellers at shows are sticking closer to home right now.
Yeah.
Instead of doing a lot of traveling.
And why schlep, you know, all those boxes?
I saw the cop, but I think they must have
slapped them up on eBay and probably make more money.
Why, I oughta.
Yeah, one thing I've always been curious about, I'd love to see if there's any kind of, if anyone's done any kind of research into the difference in sales of, say, Golden and Silver Age non-slabbed books versus slabbed books on eBay. I know if I was going to look for a key book, a more expensive key book, when I was looking on eBay, in all likelihood, I'd probably prefer to buy it slabbed.
Same here.
Yeah,
because slabs, you know what you're getting.
Although I've been pretty, like we talked about earlier, I buy like a lot of low-grade crap, read it, and if I don't want to keep it, if I price it accordingly, I tend to sell it pretty well. I've gotten pretty good feedback from it. But yeah, it's always a hit or miss. But then again, you know, I'm selling shit that's like, hey, this is fair condition.
Yeah, and readable. Priced accordingly.
It's readable. That's kind of the word I use. You're just buying this to read. You ain't buying this to get rich.
You're also not charging $600 for it. You're charging.
No, I'm trying not to.
Right. You're charging.
Cover price.
But then on top of that, you know, if you're not buying, you know, let's say if I'm looking at your auctions and I want to buy one book, well, okay, well, now I got to pay what for shipping? You know, shipping costs keep going up, but it's like, you know, if you're not buying a whole bunch of stuff.
When I run the illusion of free shipping, which is always, I look and I find, okay, this guy's selling it for $10 with $5 shipping. Okay, I'll put mine at $14.99. Free shipping. But it also is amazing because when that, was that book we were talking about, the first El Mundo, that going to be a movie, first Latino Marvel movie. He had two issues he appeared in a number of years ago in A Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. Wow. And you can see, okay, this one guy put up and said, okay, here's how the sales were the day before, 250, 260. The day after, 80, 90, 100, 200. So people just basically cleared eBay of these and just turned around and started flipping. And it was too soon for CGCs to start showing up. Those haven't started showing up.
Well, that's one of the, you know, with the popularity of the MCU movies, I mean, it's been great that it's brought a lot of new fans into the comic world. But I think with COVID and all the extra money people got from stimulus and whatever, and their new interest there was just this huge growth in collecting over the COVID time period. And it's done some really unfortunate things to the current value of a lot of products that I don't think are going to maintain those high prices.
There are a few.
Agreed.
Where, and Corey talked about this when I read Hot Comics, like
disagree.
In the 90s, there just weren't a lot of, especially after the crash with, you know, distributor wars. Those might be legitimately rare. But, yeah, like you said, this one with first appearance of this character or anything else, like the first appearance of Joker's girlfriend, which I can't remember the name of her. And, you know, all of a sudden it was
Punch
like over.
Line?
Yes. Yeah. Like, all of a sudden, oh my God, this is like a $100 book. Wait a minute, it hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah, now it's probably selling for 50 or 75.
Yeah, they always talk about it goes up, goes down. And then people like me who are just old scratch my head at the price of She-Hulk number one, Darkhawk number one. I'm like, dude, I remember that book came out. We're all excited. Oh, Stan Lee's writing a comic book. It sucked. But it is a first appearance. It's, what, 30 years old? 40?
That's the other thing. A lot of this, people tend to forget. I learned it when I worked at Schindler's.
Schindler's.
There, it's the, I call it the 25-year law.
25-year law.
All of a sudden, people realize, hey, this comic's 25 years old.
Oh.
And it starts leaving the quarter bins and the dollar bins because it's 25 years old. And you've got the people who remember it when they were a kid who now are, you know, hitting middle age and have money.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely, but I consider that to be kind of a normal part of comic collecting.
Yeah.
Same thing in toys and cars.
It doesn't have a ridiculously false inflated value. But you know, the whole collectible push during COVID, I could really falsely inflated the value of books. I mean, one of the ones I always watch is Amazing Spider-Man 129, first appearance of the Punisher.
Punisher.
And seeing what that's going for on eBay, looking at it at convention, like Atlantic Comic Con, you know, recently, it's just like, you know, you look at what Overstreet's price is. That's kind of like, well, okay, well, it's been a while since the Overstreet Guide came out. Maybe it's worth a little bit more. But still, it's just ridiculously inflated. But people are paying it. But
sold.
What bothers me is some of these people who are new to collecting who are going to do this, at some point they're going to decide, or potentially may decide, well, I guess I really don't need this sitting on my shelf anymore, sitting in a box anymore. They're going to want to go and sell it, and then they're going to find out that the bubble has burst in this inflated market, and all of a sudden, well, gee, I paid $600 for this. Yeah, well, you can maybe get $300 for a store, can get $300 for it, so a store's going to offer you $150 for it. Well, that's a major loss.
Mm-hmm.
And I worry what that might do to the overall collectible market, to fans in general. Will they become disenchanted because of the excitement that caused them to make these purchases? You know.
And there's precedent. That happened when, in baseball card market. You know, that was one of the things when CGC decided they were going to start slabbing comics. People were saying, yeah, you're going to get hyper, you know, prices, and people are going to get disappointed when they try to sell them. Everybody was chasing the Magic 9.9 and the 10.
Well, it's also what happened in the 90s when the people... Everybody uses the Death of Superman as an example, and I think more of like the Valiant and Image books, where, oh, I bought all these Youngblood number ones, and then 6 months later, they're $10 each. Then I go to sell them, and the shop says, well, I got 100 of them in the back. I give you a quarter. Well, if they're not worth anything, I'm done.
And then there's even, you know, Youngblood 2 all of a sudden spiked. Well, there's going to be a profit movie.
Speaking of the Death of Superman, if anybody has any bagged copies of that issue and they haven't had Dan Jurgens sign it...
are rare.
They got to come to the show and get Dan to sign it.
Huh. I might have one unsigned. I'll look for it. I found...
I think all of them in the Twin Cities are signed.
I found...
Dan says that he thinks someone's still producing them. He swears he signed more than what the original print run was.
I remember talking with Dan, because he had had the platinum ones, because I know what to do with them. And Gruber and I, like, bring them to the show. I said, they're going like 50 on eBay. You charge 20, you're going to have gas money for the month. And he did, and he sold out.
They must have 1,000 of them.
Well, he got comp copies, and he's like, I don't know what to do with them. I said, bring them. And I think I bought a couple, and then eventually I'm like, eh. And I traded with some guy, and I'm like, oh man, I can't believe that Dan Jurgens signed it. And I'm like,
go for a walk.
Well, you're never going to find it.
You're going the wrong way.
I did find, I forget the name of it, the Warlord issue that was Dan's first work.
The majority of it was 64.
Yeah, I'm going to bring that and have him sign it. I also found Gert Purcell's first work, which is in a comic I would not be able to tell you because I've never heard of it.
The Gordon Purcell Show. I never miss it.
I haven't found Terrence Greep's first work, but he hasn't been to a show in a while. I don't even know if he's doing any comics. I could go to the wrestling match, but I don't think Spider-Man would sign it for me.
I think you would.
I don't know. He's kind of a...
Awesome.
Heel.
I don't even know what federation he's wrestling for anymore. Because now we've got like 5 or 6.
I don't know how. I can barely get out of bed.
It's called old age, Butch.
Yeah, it's been going on for a while.
We're going to follow this balloon.
It won't be too much longer, and you'll have to wait and start forgetting that, so...
Oh, what a good day to go. Oh, God.
Now, Butch, you've been watching AEW every so often. You've seen Billy Gunn, right?
Yeah.
He's 57.
Yeah, I think he's 58.
God's almost dead.
What? 58? No! Yeah.
He looks better than he did in the 90s.
It's incredible.
Well, you know, when you go starving and you can't eat the food.
Yep, you look good.
I don't think they're drug testing in AEW.
Oh.
Not sure.
Sign me up.
Well, what, Sting's in his 60s.
Yeah.
You know, he wrestles in a shirt, but he's doing stupid stuff.
Yeah, I love it.
If you wrestled locally, Butch, I'd go to your match.
All right. Well, I'm thinking about it, because then I can write for Marvel Comics.
Well, is that all it takes?
Yep.
Well, you do still have the hockey mask, right?
I do.
You could play Suicide Brother. I keep showing up in my feed where Hogan's talking to Suicide and convinces him to take his mask off. I'm like, really? What the hell kind of angle was that?
It was like,
I think it was DNA.
Hey, Dad, are we there yet?
It's hard to breathe in this thing.
I don't know. I'm just driving. I don't know where we're going.
Well, the whole Suicide thing was they had that character in the video game. They're like, okay, well, we'll have somebody be the wrestler.
Well, there's East River Road. We can go over to George's and Fridley.
Yay! Fridley.
I think for a while it was Christopher Daniels in the mask. But I remember they changed it up because one time, you know, Suicide comes out and he's, you know, 6'2", 6'3". Oh, now he's going to have an X Division match. He comes out, he's 5'7".
Awesome. Oh, man, I love that.
He threw himself in the dryer and drank a little bit.
He should have come out of the dryer in Fish Boy's Fish House.
Shark Boy.
Shark Boy. Shark Man.
Shark Boy's coming back this week.
What?
He'll be back in TNA this weekend. I don't know if you watch much TNA, but him as Stone Cold Shark Boy was just hilarious.
Stone? I'm aware it was a thing. I would have never missed a single wrestling program, but cable TV. Now, by now, I would have missed some.
Nah, you'd be missing WWE now.
I said wrestling.
They have 4 minutes of wrestling every 15 minutes.
With a spinning camera and stupid fake crowd noise. And
oh.
You just go, ugh.
And the show I liked, they couldn't wait to screw that up. Hey, Triple H had a heart attack. Let's screw up his show.
Yeah, that'd be a good concert.
Now you're talking. Huh? Hey.
Okay, John, you're going to have to move. We're making a comic store.
Okay. Where do you want me?
I don't know. Just get rid of the signs.
Now that's a place for Kelly's art.
And at the salsa.com?
I think you're talking about John Roberts printing.
I don't think you'd want to put it in the salsa factory. Hey, what happened to this art? You know.
There are salsa stains.
See, this is a fun part of the trip where I have no idea where I am.
Oh, look how good our timing is. 2.3 miles. Oops.
Now I know.
That makes sense.
We can keep down these engine block eggs. We'll be sitting pretty.
Oh my God, you hit like...
But the arrows say to turn that way.
All right. Would you look up what time college closes?
College don't never close.
Yeah. That's what we thought last year. We didn't make it. Oh, I want to go go-karts.
College of Comic Book Knowledge.
As you listen, it starts chuckling at you.
College of Comic Book
Knowledge. Closes at 7 p.m.
Oh, okay, good.
How about Don's small engine service?
I think it was Cedar Cliff that ended up closing at 6 and one time.
No, they closed at 4.
Oh, 4.
Because it was a Sunday.
Ugh.
I don't know why he didn't go down there.
Because he has hardcovers dirt cheap.
He doesn't call it Free Comic Book Day. He just calls it Sunday.
Can you find them in the mess that he calls the store?
I've been there enough that I know exactly where he keeps them.
Yeah, when Marvel stops...
I probably shouldn't say anything. Now my name will be mud as far as he's concerned.
He's always...
It already is. You go in there, he badmouths every comic shop.
That's true. Yeah.
Which is part of the charm. They're all going under within the next week or two.
Never last.
You know, the store's probably there going under.
Yeah, they're like, they gotta be losing money.
I'm like, well, I don't know. You sell a $50 game at a 50% markup.
Yeah, Gloomhaven's selling pretty well. So if gamers could drop $100 on a board game, isn't that one of the ones that as you play it, you can mark it up and change it and everything?
No.
Because I know there are a bunch of games like that now.
Okay, is it the middle of summer and there's not one leaf on any of the trees yet?
Damn nuclear winter.
Yeah, what the hell? COVID trees.
That is one thing I will say about the customers of the source. They do buy a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I love going
on there on Wednesday because you see guys, here's your stack, you know, bigger than anything Butch left at my shop.
Thanks, pal!
I'm thinking about games.
It almost feels like Wizards of the Coast every couple of months says, well, need to replenish the coffers. New version D&D.
Yeah, that's pretty true. Last night was actually pretty interesting. I think it was about 7:30 and the power supply to part of the computer system fried. All of a sudden, our Wi-Fi went down, our internet went down, our POS was down, our credit card terminals were down. It made for a very interesting
sleeping on the bus stop.
Yeah, every so often I think about getting back into gaming. There are two things that stop me. One is that nobody... Once you're an adult, scheduling a game session is a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
And then second, it's like, oh, well, I'll get into D&D again. Well, oh, the cheapest book is $50. What are these, textbooks?
Depends on what edition you want to play. You can always go back old school and go to advanced D&D. Even those books are getting a little pricey now, but you can find those used at half price.
I got all of them.
Then you don't need to go get them.
Find somebody who wants to play that version.
That was just the thing I was going to say. You got to find people that are willing to play that.
That's six versions ago, Grandpa. I'm not a grandpa yet.
What a bunch of...
My Monopoly set is still good. When I read up on all the new, I think Risk was the first one, the campaign games, where it's okay, as you play, you change the board, you rip up cards, you do this. And as I read about it, it's like, that must be every game maker's dream. Disposable board games.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure the Dollar Tree doesn't have comics.
You're wrong.
You're about to find out.
Sometimes they do.
Somebody posted some. They're these
you're wrong.
European comics that they got their hands on. Oh, wait. It's a food truck, too.
Get us closer. Closer!
Too close.
Oh. Hang on. There we go. Perfect.
Now not close enough.
Peter cracks a bit.
And there you go. That was our fill-in episode. That was part two of the trip up to St. Cloud. I believe this is the hour drive back, and we stopped at a gaming store. That's where we're getting out. So when we do need to use part three, it will be after that. It'll be us driving around the Twin Cities and looking for comic books on Free Comic Book Day. I want to thank everybody for listening. Want to thank you for going to whatever podcast aggregator you use, and we will be back on Friday. Hit my music. Funk is on a roll.
on, bitches!